I want to do something a little different this morning in church and this morning in Sunday school. I don't normally do a topical type message. I like to get in passages, and we're going to this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would take your Bible and turn there. But I have a topic that I'm examining, and it comes right out of this portion in the sense of just a question. Many people look at their Christian walk and they say, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Because I have found in churches and across Christendom in our fundamental circles, a lot of people live with guilt, constant guilt in their life. And the reason they do is because they feel like they never measure up. Well, there's a problem. We need to understand what God says. And this is not just a problem for us today. It was a problem clear back in biblical times. I have a man that I'm discipling. He works for Johnson Controls. He's the IT guy for North America. And he's in charge of that. But he got saved a couple years ago. He was a devout Catholic. And he has turned to the Lord, understanding the message that God has given to us. But one of the things that we've dealt with, I've been discipling with him quite a while now, and we've grown a great friendship. I really appreciate this man. He's dealt with guilt all the time, even as a Catholic, because the church there was constantly, you need to go to confession. Why? Because you don't measure up, and you need to do, and there's constant pressure because you have to do everything just right, and you have to be just right. And he felt that, and that's been a constant in his life. And now that he's come to know Christ as his Savior, he understands that the forgiveness of sins, and he says, but I still have these feelings of guilt. Well, those things have gone away now in his life as we've been able to disciple through Scripture and see what God says about it. But one of the things that happens in our circles is we find that pressure to do this, you need to be doing this, you need to be witnessing, you need to be living right in every area, you need to be resisting the world, you can't be worldly and be godly at the same time, and we have all this pressure on us to do right, to make sure we're doing right, and you need to be in church all the time, and you need to be committed. You need to be, and you have all these things that are said. And if you have any twinge at all of conscience in the sense of, I really do want to be right. I really do want to walk right. I really do want to be exactly where God wants me to be. And when they tell me these things, I know every time I hear a message, I don't measure up. I'm not that good. I want to be. I try to be. But what is it that really, when it comes right down to it, if it's that I've got to do everything perfectly, I got news for you. I might as well quit right now because it ain't going to happen. I don't even talk perfectly. Ask an English teacher, a speech teacher. I can guarantee you, they're going to find lots of things I mess up on. Why? Because I grew up in Wyoming. We didn't talk different. I mean, we talk, cowboy talk and stuff. I've kind of grown out of that. Janine used to tease me. Yeah, my Wyoming twang was coming out, and she would tease me about it over. She's from California originally. So anyway, it's kind of funny because she always said, we speak English right, we talk the way we should be, and we don't have an accent and all this. And we go to South Africa, and we're down there, and Janine is teaching and doing a ladies' thing, just a devotional for the ladies. And it was funny, after she got done, she was telling a couple of ladies, I really have difficulty understanding your accent, because they're in English, but they have an accent down there that's really different. And they said, well, that's interesting because we have difficulty understanding you. Now, we can understand your husband, but we don't understand you. I thought, praise the Lord, I'm finally speaking right. No. How often do you mess up? You measure up? Did you witness this week like you should? Did you pray like you should? Did you read your Bible like you should? Could you have done better? I mean, there it is, right there. The guilt's all over us. Isn't that incredible? It's all you have to ask. It's all you have to say. Well, what's really required of us? What does God say? There's two aspects that we're going to go into. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. God tells us what's required of us, but he also tells us that if we examine ourselves under and compare ourselves with other Christians or with other people's assessment or other people's value system or other people's requirements or other things, then we're doing it wrongly. We're messing up even in our judgment. I put it this way. There's danger of faithfulness. It's for those being faithful. There's a danger, and it's called looking to the wrong judge. Who makes the conclusion about you and me? Are you accountable to me? Well, we talk about accountability partners, right? We talk about those types of things. Boy, you know what? That's not a good thing in some ways, because it's easy to just measure up by, I'm doing it just right because everybody at church thinks I'm great. Or my accountability partner thinks I'm doing good. So I must be okay. No, the wrong judge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at it this way. It says in verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, Paul says in verse 6, he says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Spiritual pride. I'm doing it right. You're not. I'm living the way I should. Just look at, I'm doing this, this, and this, and this, but you're not. I mean, this Paul's doing it by saying, I'm a minister of Christ, but really all of us are, aren't we? We are all carriers of the gospel. We are all carriers of the work that God has given to us to do what God has set before us. We are all ministers. We're all stewards of this great privilege that we've been given. We've been given the gospel. We've been given this relationship with God. We've been given this great fellowship with God. And we're all, I like to use the word carriers. You're a carrier. And other people ought to be infected by you. Why? Because you're a carrier of the gospel. You're a carrier of Christ. They ought to see Christ in you. They ought to see him working through you. So that's all of us. But Paul's doing it in this way just to show these people how to think and how to look at this thing of judgment or evaluating ourselves or am I doing it right? Answering the question. So Paul says in verse 1 again, let's read it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? In church every Sunday, every service. That a man be found reading his Bible every day. Tell that to people 400 years ago that didn't even have a Bible. They couldn't be spiritual like we are spiritual because they didn't have Bibles. We obviously are more spiritual than them, right? Because we read our Bibles every day, right? I mean, let's evaluate things God's way, okay? That's where we want to go. That's what we want to see. It's so easy for us to look at things and look at ourselves and evaluate them by our standards, our knowledge of what we should be, shouldn't be, all these types of things, rather than this intimate, personal relationship with God. And letting God work in us and mold us and change us and have His way with us as He sees fit. So what's required? Am I doing it right? Well, the Bible says it's required that we be faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? Well, let's just look at a few verses. I like Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is one of my favorites. Take your Bible and turn there if you would. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Keep your finger or something in 1 Corinthians. I know that's a little late to tell you that because we're going back there. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He says this, and this we know is the great faith chapter. If you want to do, I love this because you can do an overview of the Old Testament by going through Hebrews 11. By faith. They believed God. How do we accept Christ our Savior? We believe God. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put our whole self into Christ. We believe Him. But it says in verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what is faith here? For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that do everything right. No, that's not what it says. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What is the drive and the pursuit of your life? I'm not talking about doing it perfectly every day, but what is the heart attitude of you? If we were to characterize you, as Paul said, even in Philippians chapter 3, this one thing I do, what would be that drive? What would be that characteristic? This person seeks God. Walks with God, seeks His will every moment of every day. That's the drive and the passion and the desire of that heart. Now, what a precious gift. That's what it is required of us to be found faithful. And here it is. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You have to believe that He is. And then if you believe that He is and you have that faith, then the next thing you're going to want to do is, I want Him. I'm pursuing Him in every area of my life, everything in my life, every day of my life, every minute of my life, every movement of my life is all about Him. I want God to be in control of me and my life. Passion of our heart. That's incredible, because then it goes back to the first part, and I've shared before here, without faith it's impossible to please Him. What's implied in that verse? What's implied in that verse, or in that part of the verse, that phrase, is that you and I have a relationship that is so impacting that we have a real lifelong desire to please God. That should come out of a relationship with God, shouldn't it? That's what he's talking about. By faith, I have this relationship. I want to please you, God. I really want to please you with every ounce of my being. Wow. Well, he tells us how to please him. Believe that he is and seek him. He just said so right in this verse, didn't he? You must first of all believe that He is, and then you must seek Him. Do you want Him to be a part of your life in every area? You see the difference between now, you need to be in church, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray. No, we're going for the heart here. Now we're going to talk about the heart attitude. You can be in church and begrudgingly be here. I have to go to church again. Why? Because what are they going to think of me if I don't go? Now that's a great motivation. You're already mad at everybody because they're judging you. I mean, that's how you build a church, right? No! You build people. You point people to Christ, and Christ builds their life. It's individual. You and I need to have a relationship with God that's impacting us because we seek Him, we want Him, we desire Him in our life. So, being found faithful, what does it mean? I need to be, what? Believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe You, God. I know that I'm going to receive from You reward. Wow. Now let's go and see some other verses because it falls right into the same line. Romans 14:23, it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's why we can use that phrase, you know, do you really have this personal walk with God? Do you know that you're walking by faith? Is this exactly where God's leading you? Is this exactly what God wants you to do? And I've had people tell me, like this summer, I had a question that was asked of me about somebody being in the lesbian crowd. And somebody said, they love the Lord, they go to church, they're really nice people. But yet here's this sin in their life that God says it's against His design. So can you walk in sin and walk with God? Do you really want God's way? Or can you manipulate your God, which we're going to talk about in the morning service, to fit your lifestyle? Who are you surrendered to? Your will or His? Your lifestyle or His for you? See, there, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Can I in good faith say, I know this is exactly in accordance to God's word. It's exactly what God would want me to do. I know that there's nothing in Scripture that would even be remotely saying that I'm walking in sin or close to sin because this is something God would be okay with. It's not a bad thing. So I want to do what's right. I want to walk with God. I want to experience all that God has. But you cannot go against Scripture, God's Word, and say, I'm there. So faithfulness does have some requirements to us. But you know what happens? We get so focused on sin. Well, I'm not doing that, so I'm okay. No, I'm not doing that, so I'm okay. I'm not doing that, so I'm okay. I'm not doing that, so I'm okay. I'm not like those people, so I must be okay. No! The focus of this is not on the what you don't do. The focus of this is on Christ. Because if you're walking by faith, where's He going to lead you? Is He ever going to lead you into sin? Absolutely not. If I'm focused on Him and I'm walking by faith, then I don't even need to worry about sin. Right? Why? Because where's He going to lead me? The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have any other need. He's everything to me. He leads me by the paths of still waters. He maketh me lie down, in the paths of righteousness. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures. He brings me to those still waters. He just does all this for me. And we're busy thinking, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. No, you need to focus in your intimate personal walk with God. Being found faithful in your relationship with Christ. Because then where is He going to lead you? Well, He's not going to lead you to sin. So if you're not walking by faith, you're not walking by walking in Him. Colossians 2:6 simply says this, as you have received Him, walk in Him. How did you receive Him? By faith. So how do you walk? By faith. What do I need to be found? Faithful. Wow. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is, well, I'm not doing that. I'm okay because I'm in church and I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying. See all these things I do? That makes me okay. No, not necessarily. I was in a church, I was preaching on God's kind of love. It was a series from 1 Corinthians 13. And on Sunday night, one of the ladies in the church came out of the church weeping. And she said, I wish I could talk to you. And I says, well, Pastor and I'd be glad to talk with you anytime you want to, if that works out. And she said, oh, don't tell Pastor. And I said, well, why not? Because then everybody's going to hear about it and find out about it. Well, come to find out, this lady in the church, her husband was gone on a trip, business trip at that moment, but they were having problems in their marriage and they were on the verge of divorce and nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. I went home where I was staying in the prophet's chamber that evening and prayed, Lord, you got to work this out because there's no way I'm going to meet with this person on my own. And Janine wasn't with me on that trip. And so I said, Lord, you're going to have to work this out. Well, the Lord did, prompted this lady to call the pastor. 8:00 in the morning, I get a knock on the door where I'm staying. And this pastor shows up and he's white as a ghost. And I said, what's up? And he said, I didn't know. And I said, what didn't you know? He said, so-and-so just called. And their marriage is just about ready to fall apart. And I said, I know she talked to me last night. And I was praying God had worked this out. And he looked at me and said something. He says, I've been having personal Bible study with this man every week for the last 6 weeks, and he never said a word. He didn't know. That's how we cover up. He was doing everything right, and everybody around this couple thought they were fine, but when it came to right to it, they were already so bad in their marriage. I hate to say it, but a few weeks later they divorced. It was that bad already. They never reached out to anybody. Why? Well, they were living right. I mean, they were doing things right. They were in church. They were having Bible study with the pastor even. The guy was. He was the bank manager in the community. And everything was fine and dandy as far as everybody knew, and it was a complete shock to everybody. Shame on us. Why can't we be real? Why? Because we have to put on this show because we're walking by sight, not by faith. Our requirements is not, it's not that you walk right, that you do everything, It is that you do everything just right rather than your heart. I had a guy that messed up in our church when I was pastoring, and it was relationships between church members, and they got it right wonderfully. And the guy said to me on Sunday, he says, boy, I'm so thankful you didn't come after me. You didn't try and chew me out when you heard this, and you didn't, and you stood behind me, and he was our choir director, and I said, yeah, I'm going to stand behind you. I know your heart. And I know this other guy's heart. You guys both love the Lord. That's why they worked it out together. Why? Because we both want to walk with God, don't we? We both want to do God's will, don't we? Wow. We get so critical because we look to the wrong judge. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, God is faithful. Faithful is he who's promised he will do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again. Moreover, in verse 2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Wow! I mean, they just chewed Paul out, remember? And he even uses sarcasm in this book, in 1 Corinthians. He uses several different things about them to help them to wake up to the fact of what they're doing. I think it's a small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not even my own self. Wow. So in verse 4, he makes the reason why. Because I don't know anything by myself. Yet, am I not hereby justified? He that judges me is the Lord. And if I'm walking with him, he's going to direct me correctly. He's going to build me correctly. He's going to put things together correctly. He's going to help me to respond to people correctly. He's going to help me to act in love when I've been acted upon with very harsh criticism or something else. And I'm going to respond in love and be kind when I was unkind toward me. Why? Because I'm not acting the way I was acted upon. I'm not reacting to them. I'm acting godly because I am under the Spirit's control. I'm walking with God. That's the desire of my heart in every relationship and every circumstance. Is that the way we always respond? No. But if you know my heart, then you'll understand sometimes I do mess up. I don't say it just right. I don't come across just right like I want to lovingly. I may come across harshly. I don't mean to. I never want to offend people. I mean, that's one of my flaws is I don't want to ever hurt anybody. I think there's some people that think that the pastor wakes up on Sunday morning and his idea is, boy, I can't wait to get to the pulpit today. I am sure I can offend somebody. No, that's not the desire of the true servant of God. I want to encourage you in your personal walk with God. I want to see God work in you and through you for his glory. I want you to be the most godly you that you can be. Whatever that looks like. Whatever God would have. I'm not God. I'm not going to play the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't ask me to. You need to have that personal, intimate walk with him where he's telling you, he's controlling you, he's working in you, he's working through you. That's what Paul's saying here. I don't even judge my own self. I look to God. I want him to control my actions. I want to listen to the Holy Spirit when he says, you messed up here. I want to be able to be strong enough and big enough to say, yeah, I did. And acknowledge it. Rather than try and defend myself. Why do I have to defend myself? Isn't this God's work? I don't have to defend me. God does. He'll take care of me. He'll work things out. He'll put it in people's hearts the way it should be. And if somebody comes after me, I remember one of my deacons in our first church when I was pastoring said to me, boy, that lady was after you tonight when we were doing the financial statements and reports. And she did. She had three questions about stuff. She didn't normally do that, but apparently she did have something that night. I didn't even recognize it. I just simply thought the best, which I should think, right? And I just answered her questions. And there was no problem, because I just answered her questions. But he saw what was happening. You know what was amazing to me? I didn't realize her heart. I wanted to think the best of her. She came to Janine and I about 20 years after we left the church and said, "I'm sorry for my attitude while you were pastor of our church, because I had a rebellious spirit and it cost me my girls." Wow. Wow. And I said, "I didn't see that as such. I knew there were some issues, but I didn't know what it was. And I was just praying." Well, praise the Lord, she's got her girls. Things are going good. They're trying to raise their kids in the things of the Lord. Praise the Lord. But, yeah, how do we react? Well, you can't ask me that question. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I do? I'm just simply a human being just like you are before a holy God, and we're trying to live godly in this present world, and God's going to lead us that direction. And yeah, we mess up. Let's grow. Let's grow. Let's continue on. Wow. So he says this in 1 Corinthians 4, and we better hurry because I don't think we're supposed to go past 10:15. But we're going to go past 10:15 because I'm not even close to done. It says this in verse 5. "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts." And then I love this last part, because I don't think this is our view of our God and his judgment of us as believers. "And then shall every man have praise of God." Think on that one a while. God, don't you know how they lived on the earth? Don't you know? I remember they were in church maybe once a month. You need to go after them. Yeah, but they might have had a heart closer to the Lord than you do. You ever think about that? That's why he says, "These things, brethren, I've in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." We try and judge each other. That is the wrong judgment. We're looking to the wrong judge. I had a guy tell me, and I've used this quite a bit now in my working with people. They'll tell me, "Well, I do it this way, and I do this, and I do that." And I say, "Well, that's great. But what does God think about that?" And one guy tell me, he's just as honest as it can be, and I appreciate it. He says, "You know what? I never thought of it that way." Well, we should think about it that way. I've got this all worked out with God and me. Well, sure, you've got it worked out, but what does God think about it? What you've got worked out with him? Are we really listening to him? I like this. He says this, it takes away spiritual pride when we have the right judge. When we look to the Lord, doesn't make me better than you or you better than me. We're all in this same boat. That's why they call it fellowship. But by God's grace, he's working in me, he's working in you, and he brings us together, and we work together, and we see unity of the Spirit, and we see God building the body as he works through each of us, as he's gifted each of us, enabled each of us, and by his grace, things go on. I like what my pastor says a lot. He says this a lot. He says, the church, it's an amazing organism that God has created, and it's obviously of God because it's incredible that it functions at all with us human beings being who we are. It has to be God's work. It has to be the Lord building. It has to be each of us dependent with every ounce of our being on Christ. It's not going to work otherwise. We're going to get in the way. We're going to thwart it. We're going to start having spiritual pride. We're going to start looking down on others. We're going to start lifting others up. We have different positions in the body, but we're all still dealing with the same stuff, folks. I don't know about you, but I have to deal with my flesh, don't you? The flesh and the spirit are battling. Aren't they still doing that in you? Don't you see that? Scripture teaches that. Can't we acknowledge it? Wow. So what's required? Am I doing this right? Be found faithful. Faithful to that intimacy, that personal walk with God, moment by moment throughout every day. God will build your life. He promised to do so. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You are His to do with as He sees fit, to His glory, to His praise, as He works in you and through you. That's all of us. We're all in the same boat. That's why they call it fellowship. We're all in the same boat. I hope and pray this has been encouragement to you. Because we often even will judge ourselves. I'm doing everything just right. No, we're not. Acknowledge it. We're not perfect. But by God's grace, I want to be where He wants me to be, doing what He wants me to do, the way He wants me to do it every day, every moment of every day of my life. I want the Holy Spirit to be in control. I want to act godly, even though when I'm acted upon, very ungodly. I want to react godly. I want to act godly, even though I've been acted upon unkind. Wow. I hope and pray that's your heart. I hope and pray that's your drive and desire. And what does Scripture say? What's required? Be found faithful. Be found faithful to Him. Where's He going to lead you? To the right things. Is He going to lead you to the local church? Absolutely, He's going to build that. Is He going to lead you to read your Bible, study? Sure. What does it look like for you? Maybe different than what it is for me. Is He going to lead you to pray? Absolutely, He's going to lead you to pray. That's God working in you. That's God working through you. Praise the Lord. It's exciting to see when God's working. That's the key, isn't it? Let's be found faithful. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for how You build. Thank You for the unity of the Spirit in the body. Thank You that we can acknowledge we need You, Lord, because we do. And Lord, I'm thankful that You are everything we need, as we're going to see even later in the next service. Thank You that You're our God, that You provide everything needed to be godly in this present world. And we can do that as we walk with You, as You are in control, as You minister grace to us each day. Thank You for Your mercies. For, Lord, we do not receive what we deserve. Thank You, God. But, Lord, may our heart attitude always be, I want You, Lord. I want You in control. I want You to work in me and through me as You see fit. Lord, thank You for being our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.